You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, big NFL day this tomorrow and Sunday. Ryan Hoag knows he's playing the NFL. He knows all about this. And he's actually helping host a get-together where you can ask Ryan questions and tap in to some of the insight that is the NFL. Ryan, thank you for joining us. What do you got cooking on Sunday?
Well, Mike, always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Well, you know, I'm a diehard Bucks fan, which we've talked about in the past because I followed Tom Brady because, you know, Moss and I were such good friends when he was with the Vikings. So wherever he went, I followed his career. And I got a pretty sweet opportunity on Sunday. There's a new company called Millions.co, and what they do, they teamed with the NFL Alumni Association, and they created this platform for professional athletes like myself, kind of like a one-stop shop. I consider it like a Cameo on steroids.
Uh-huh.
So it's this platform that allows us to do watch parties. It allows us to, you know, sell merchandise. And it have personal videos. It's pretty sweet. And they reached out to me and asked if I would be willing to host a watch party. And essentially, think about what the ESPN has done with the Peyton brothers, or the Manning brothers. Sorry. And,
oh, while the game goes on, kind of thing.
Yep. So I'm just going to be interacting with the fans. They'll be able to see me. I won't be able to see them. They'll type in questions, and I'll just be commentating on what I'm seeing. And utilizing some of my broadcast background from the NFL workshop that I did a couple years ago.
Sure.
So I'm really excited. And then the best part about it, it's free. So
so a watch party where you'll be there in live in person, or is this virtual for a bunch of, you know, satellite parties, so to speak?
Great question. Yeah, it is not in person. It's all virtual. So the outreach can be whoever,
I see.
Wherever. And, you just... I have a link that's attached to my Facebook and my Instagram and stuff. Or you can just go to millions.co and find it there and just go to watch parties. There's other professional athletes that'll be live streaming as well and commentating and things like that. But it's just a way to engage the fans in a different way, engage my friends in a different way. And, you know, all NFL players really have a PhD in football, and we don't, oftentimes, if we don't go into coaching, we don't get to utilize it because when we're watching it with our friends, we just kind of just watch it and try not to be annoying by saying, oh, look at this. This is a great opportunity for me to be like, okay, well, you know, not only do I know football, but I know the Buccaneers because I've watched them every single game the last 2 years. So I really know kind of the ins and outs and what to expect against the Rams.
What did Moss ever tell you about playing with Brady? What makes him special from a receiver standpoint?
Well, you know, Brady, so I got the chance to play with Rich Gannon the year after he won the NFL MVP.
Yep.
And the thing about those types of players, right, that are MVP level players, they hold you to such a standard that it becomes an expectation, and everybody rallies around that. And a guy like Moss that holds himself to that same standard, that standard of excellence, I mean, it was a match made in heaven. I mean, they legitimately just lifted the best out of each other. I mean, obviously Moss had the best season of all time in terms of 22 touchdowns in, what was that, 2007 or 2008? And
22 touchdowns, you know, wow, for a receiver.
Right. That's unheard of. And, I mean, they go 16-0. And, you know, so when you have a guy that really, I remember just recently, LeSean McCoy talked about it. He's no longer in football, but last year he was with the Buccaneers at the middle of the season and the end of the season, won a Super Bowl. And he said, as long as we knew we had number 12 on the other sideline, like, it lifts everybody in the organization, from the people feeding meals to the cleaning crew to the coaches to the practice squad players. Like, everybody knew, like, as long as we had him on going for us, like, we have a chance. And, you know, if you put a special talent, like the best there's ever been, like Moss, you know, I mean, it's you know, there's a reason that they had the season they did.
Well, do you think that would Moss raise himself more for Brady because he understood Brady than he would other quarterbacks, so to speak? Do you think that he listened more because it was Brady, as opposed, you know, sometimes if you know you're the best player on the field, then what you say goes. And in this case, you may be deferring because the best, you know, the best player, or the most vocal, or the person that everybody's going to listen to is Brady.
Yeah, well, Moss really thrived in settings that had these, you know, this certain level of expectation of excellence. And when there was a little, you know, loosey-goosey, like, Moss would not strive, you know, wouldn't maybe go to the level he could. And, you know, the fact that Belichick had been there for so many years and been to, you know, Super Bowls before him, and the Patriots organization was a dynasty in the making, like, that is just, you know, ripe for a guy like Moss to come in and be like, yeah, I'm not only going to, you know, fall in line, but I'm going to add to this piece. Whereas, you know, when he goes to the Raiders right before that, when the Vikings trade him to the Raiders for Napoleon Harris, you know, it was and I can speak because I was drafted by the Raiders, it was a dysfunctional organization. And yeah, they pride themselves on leading the league in penalties. They legitimately talked about being the most penalized team. They were fine with that, being the most hated team in the NFL. They love that. And that, you know, for anybody that's just a diehard competitor that just wants to win, like Moss and like myself, like, that just doesn't jive. Like, I don't care about that aspect of it. This isn't hockey where we want to have the biggest bruiser and best fighter on the team. Like, we want to legitimately find ways to win. And, you know, from a cerebral level, Moss was so far above really any receiver I played with, and Brady the same way, Belichick the same way. They're just above and beyond their respective positions or coaching situations. And it just, that's why it worked.
Do you, does Jim Harbaugh work in Oakland or Las Vegas to you?
So Harbaugh was my quarterback coach when I was with the Raiders. He was great. And I actually,
Harbaugh was an assistant there at that time, huh?
Yeah, he was the quarterback coach there. And then he obviously went to San Diego.
Yeah, before he started his journey, huh?
And I actually sat down with him when I was at Stanford. I was doing a soccer camp. And I went in there and sat down with him, and I actually kicked the tires on potentially doing a grad assistant and getting my master's at Stanford in education. I was still playing football at the time, so I wasn't ready to give up the dream. But, you know, for Jim to not really know me as well, you know, I was only there a short amount of time, but he entertained me and gave me all the love in the world. So wherever he's gone, you know, I'm a loyalist. I root for him, and I've become a Michigan fan because he's there. Do I see him going to Las Vegas? I think he's going to end up staying in Michigan personally. Now, you know, if I had the choice between NFL and college, I mean, the recruiting is such a beast that I would probably stay in the NFL, and, you know, the money's going to be phenomenal anywhere if you're Harbaugh name. But I think he probably has a little chip on his shoulder because of the way, you know, he kind of got a bad rap. I mean, if you look at his record, it's unbelievable in the NFL. I mean, he went to, what, three straight, his first 3 years, he was three straight NFC championships, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if anybody's going to turn around that organization, it's going to be Harbaugh. But, you know, again, I feel like he's got a good thing going, and so it would be hard pressed. If he does leave for the NFL, it's going to be the Ravens, though.
Okay, so can you stay on with us for a quick break? I want to ask who the Vikings should hire.
Yep.
Okay, Ryan Hogue is our guest. When we come back, I'll ask him who the Vikings should hire as their head coach. Stay with us. Ryan Hogue is our guest, former NFL wide receiver. Ryan, Todd Bowles interviewed today. Raheem Morris interviewed today. They were expected to, and they did, for the head coaching job for the Minnesota Vikings. Based on the names you've heard so far, who do you like and why?
Well, you know, no, I don't hear anybody really that I love. I mean, I'm a big fan of Brian Flores. I thought he got a short end of the deal in Miami, and I think he would make a phenomenal head coach with the Vikings. You know, I think a guy like Nathaniel Hackett, you know, he's kind of a popular, you know, but what people don't realize is, where was he before Green Bay? He was the offensive coordinator for Jacksonville Jaguars. Have they ever had a good offense? No, he was there for, what, 3 years? And, right, Aaron Rodgers can make a lot of offensive coordinators look good and get jobs. You look at Raheem Morris, terrible as a head coach. Todd Bowles, awful when he was with the Jets. And I'm a big, like I said, I'm a big Bucs fan. They have a great defense. He's a good defensive coordinator. Kind of like Scott Linehan was a phenomenal offensive coordinator for me with the Vikings. He was a terrible head coach, and everybody knew that. He was a brilliant offensive mind. Some guys are just not meant to be head coaches. Dan Quinn was not good with Atlanta. Yeah, he went to one Super Bowl, but he had a lot of time, had a lot of losing seasons, and then you get a guy like Lane Kiffin that people throw around, and it's just like, what are we doing here? No.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't think anybody inside the Vikings is throwing Lane Kiffin around. I think that comes from, you know, he's such an easy person. You know, anytime a job comes open, he's one of those guys, whether it's a major college or an NFL job, because he's got experience in both. It's just like an automatic that somebody's going to bring him up, you know?
Right. Well, I mean,
heck, you grew up not far from him.
It's really hard to be an NFL head coach. People got to realize that. Look at, I mean, Nick Saban's a pretty good coach.
Yeah, he couldn't
exactly
do it.
He didn't have much success with the Dolphins. Ended, what, at 1.8 years or something? It didn't even last 2 years.
Yeah. Did you think Zimmer wore out his welcome, or did you think that they just didn't have enough personnel to get you where you need to go?
No, it was time. It was time. Zimmer's a phenomenal coach. Phenomenal coach. People will speak about him again. He's a great defensive coach. The problem is your coach has to be in line with your quarterback. And from day one, people in the organization, I heard from sources that he did not feel comfortable about Kirk Cousins. He was too much of this nice guy, and he just was not a Zimmer type guy. And then there was a disconnect between him and Spielman, and I think they made the right choice with Spielman going. Thank goodness they kept Rob Brzezinski, because he's probably the best numbers guy in the NFL, right up there with what they're doing down in Tampa Bay. But, you know, so, it, you know, it, like they say, for a job about every 8 years or so, it's probably time, 6 to 8 years, it's probably time to do something different. Zimmer's going to have success as a D coordinator next year somewhere. You know, Spielman might, you know, have success as a GM somewhere else, but it was time for them to go with the Vikings. I really hope Brian Flores gets a shot, and because I know he'd do a heck of a job.
Do you have a favorite for the GM, and how does that person have to conduct themselves?
You know, like I said, I think it's probably one of the easier GM jobs to come into, because you have a roster that is loaded with talent. You have a numbers guy in Brzezinski that's phenomenal and probably the best in the business. And you have ownership group and the Wilfs that are, you know, super patient, just good people. Like, you know, I was under the regime of Red McCombs, and then, you know, to see the difference between how he ran it and the Wilfs, it was night and day. It was like, whatever you guys need, we're here for you, we support you. Whereas McCombs, you could tell it was very business and very salesy, like, I am in this to make money and nothing more. And
man, did he.
yeah, and he made a lot of money and he got out. And but, you know, I don't know, like, personally, like, any of the GM options that they're throwing around. I kind of am intrigued by the Cleveland guy, Kwesi or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if
yep.
I pronounce his name. I think I'm intrigued by him, but it's not like that organization is, you know, thriving.
No.
So, you know, but how much is that his doing and others? I don't know.
Let me ask you one last question along those lines.
Yeah.
You bring in a guy, generally speaking, they come from a successful organization, right? And Cleveland is stretching it a little bit there. You know, last year they had a good year, obviously. This year they beat the Vikings. But for some reason, they're Cleveland crazy out of the Vikings, you know. And of us, because Stefanski, you know, is helping these guys or what. But you sit down a coach, an assistant coach, and he had Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback, or he had Tom Brady as his quarterback, or he had Patrick Mahomes as his quarterback. How do you cut through the chase and figure out if they had anything to do with the success of the organization, or are you just the product of a great quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, the same could be said with a guy like Sidney Rice, who had his breakout year with Favre, right? Favre can make a lot of
yes, exactly, and
level.
Then he goes to Seattle, gets a big contract, and that's the last word of Sidney Rice.
Yeah, you never heard of him, right? You never heard of him again. He got his, what, $60 million and went to Seattle, and then he was, you know, and granted,
he was injured,
you
know, and stuff, but to your point, and to an extent, Percy Harvin, the same thing with Favre. But what questions would you ask to try to figure out, did this guy have an impact in the organization, or was he just there in title, and anybody could have, you know, he's just reaping the rewards of something he has no control over?
Well, I think I would do a couple things. First question I would ask is, what's the biggest mistake you've made in your current role, and how did you rectify it, right? I would see if they're super introspective of, like, oh, we're not going to talk about all my accolades because that's easy and that's all for the ink and the papers, but I want you to tell me what you did wrong. And then I would ask, like, you know, what is something that you feel like as an organization here with the Vikings that we do well, and what are three things that you might, you know, fix? What are the first three things that you're gonna work on? And from those, like, five bullet points, I feel like then you start to see, like, the guys that are really, you know, digging in and understanding, like, oh, here's what Minnesota is all about. And, oh, it's, you know, it's got an amazing fan base, an amazing, like, legends community, and through Tracy McDonald and things like that. But it, you know, all of that is combined. You're an ambassador as that GM of, you know, a state that is just of the Midwest. That's all buzzing for Minnesota Vikings. And if they don't understand that part of it, right, then I'm already moving on to the next, because I'm like, well, they haven't done their homework.
All right, one more time. The party on Sunday, how do you access it?
Yep. You go to millions.co. So it's like millions.com, but it's without the M, millions.co. And then you go to watch parties, and you click on Ryan Hoag, and you'll just need to fill out your email address, and that'll get you in. And you can come and go. It starts at 2:00 is the game for the Bucks and the Rams. And we'll be doing trivia. We'll be doing a lot of fun, different things. And I can show you my merch. I have a Mr. Irrelevant shirt that I think might be a fan favorite for some people. And I'll get you one, Mike. Don't worry. And
free charge,
it's
right?
It's going to be sweet. That's a really
That's
awesome
XL, platform, by the way.
Well, I think you're more of a medium guy.
Okay.
All right.
But, hey, I appreciate it, Ryan, and have fun on Sunday.
All right. Hey, Mike, always a pleasure. Anytime.
You bet. Thank you, Ryan Hoag. Nice enough to join us. This has been pretty active interviews that we've got going tonight, and we'll continue that with Rory Nelson. What does he think about the Vikings head coach? You might be surprised when we come back. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Rory Nelson, are you there?
Sure.
Who do you think should be the next Viking head coach?
That's above my pay grade.
Yeah, but you're sitting out there in the fish house. I'm sure that conversation comes up.
You know, it actually, there's the stories that have come out about what had been going on there seem to keep a lot of people quiet. There just hasn't been a whole lot of talk, because no one really knows which way they're going to go. Do you get the GM first and then get the head coach?
Yeah.
You know, those type of things. So.
Yeah. Rory is a fishing guy extraordinaire in the West Metro. Last time we talked, ice was just coming into play, and it was just getting there. How is it right now?
It's definitely getting thicker out there. We are, like, Wayzata Bay's looking like 16 inches. A lot of the smaller bays, the big basin, Browns Bay area, it's not ready for trucks yet. Four-wheeler, snow wheel's fine. You just can't go wheeling across the big part, but a lot of the smaller bays, Phelps, Harrison's, Jennings, Maxwell, North Arm, their houses are all over the place. People are having a good time. There's a lot of fish being caught.
You know, I was driving up in northwest Minnesota, I guess, yesterday, and Lake Oscar, not that far from, you know, the Elbow Lake area, Alexandria area, and there was a trailer on the ice, like you'd seen a trailer court and a fish house next to it. And I thought, I wonder if they use one just for sleeping, etc., or, you know, as a lounge out there, and then you go over to the fish house if you want to fish. I don't know, but it was pretty cool out there. I hadn't seen it like that, you know?
Well, they'll do that. So, like, I have friends that fish red during the day at the one house down there, and then one up at Lake of the Woods for the night bite or out on Winnie. Red doesn't produce very well at night, so it's more of a daytime bite. So that's a lot of times what they'll do when they're running two houses. Well, just so you can stay on top of the bite.
They're really serious about fishing then.
Pretty much. We don't have much to do, right? You got what? We maybe get 6 good weeks of decent ice, especially around the metro. And the guys hit it pretty hard when we get the opportunity.
What you know, as we've changed innovatively speaking with fish houses, and they're getting nicer and nicer. We all know about that. What are the most important things that you think should be in a fish house to have great success?
Oh, you know, to have great success, I don't think you don't have to have every dudette. I mean, there's a lot of guys that still just fish with tip ups in their car and do as good as anybody out there. You don't have to have every contraption. It goes along the lines of if you're going to use it for hunting or for camping, you know, they're taking these setups that you'd normally use for, 6 weeks out of the year and you're spending a lot of money on. So now they put air conditioners, full on campers, so you can use it throughout the year, be it deer camp, ice fishing, or just taking the family for a road vacation.
When you fish right now, how do you decide what time of the day and what depth for what fish?
Panfish right now, goes by really the temperatures, what I've been seeing. 2 days ago, or when it was cold out last, 2 days ago, I was out, and the fish would normally bite at 8:30 in the morning until about 10:30 for crappies, sunnies, the real hard bite. The morning it was cold, they didn't come in until 11, and it only lasted till about 12:30. It was absolutely phenomenal fishing, but their time frames kind of change as the pressure, the temperature, cloudy out. Tonight would have been a good night to be out just before the storm came in. You finally have this monster high leaving. A low pressure comes in, kicks off the fish. Perfect timing for the night bite, be it walleyes or crappies. And it was good. I was actually out till about 6:30 at night. And, you know, we got a nice limit of crappies. It was all around good fishing. So timing, that's where the timing comes in. And every day it kind of changes, but if you want to be walleyes, it's evenings and mornings, panfish throughout the day, northerns always along the weed lines, basically any type of temperature, halfway down the water column to the top of the weeds, throw out a sucker minnow on a harness rig, and northerns go all the time.
Walleye at night, fisherman's delight. If you're going to fish walleyes any time of the 24-hour cycle, when would you?
Right now on Minnetonka, I'd be out there no later than 3:30. You're set up quiet by 4 o'clock. The bite is going to come through about 5:15 to about 5:45, and then it's really going to taper off.
At night, you mean?
Stragglers. You're going to get the stragglers.
You're talking about late afternoon, not morning, right?
That is afternoon. That is the best bite for walleyes right now, is that just at dusk, that failing light is when they feed the best. The panfish, crappies, you can get them all day long. Sunnies, you can get them all day long. You got to work for them, maybe move a little throughout the day where they're going on the edge of the weed lines chasing the bait around, or maybe out to the deeper water basins towards the night. But it's real easy to go out there right now. Find it, like Carson's Bay is a prime example on Tonka. Within 300 feet of shore, there's a 25-foot hole. You can go there any time in the morning, catch sunnies, northerns, crappies. When you're done, you go outside the bay, get out to the first break line, and you can start pulling walleyes at night. So it's a good way to get multiple species in, and you can use those time periods throughout the day to stay on top of fish. You just might have to plan to make the change throughout the day.
When, I drive by these lakes sometimes, and oftentimes I think, you know, obviously you see the fish houses and you go, I guess that'd be a good place to fish. Have you ever gone to a lake where you just surveyed it and said, there's no fish houses on here, but it looks like it could be good, and give it a try?
This is what is being lost in the new age of fishermen. It used to be the old guys before GPS all had to learn spots and use
trial and error, right?
And a water tower.
Yeah.
Nowadays, we have so many people that have got into it that are trying to learn fishing, but they all seem to glom on the same spots. Nobody wants to venture away or go look for something and maybe have a failing day. A lot of people just want to be able to pull out on Friday, get in the group of houses, maybe catch a fish or not, and then pull on off on Sunday, and that's their fishing weekend. If I can make a suggestion to anybody, it is spread out. There is so much structure on Lake Minnetonka that is totally untouched right now. Get away from the crowds, and you're going to find you have much more productive days because you're all not fighting for those few fish that are coming around you. You got a better opportunity for yourself.
Rory Nelson's our guest. What has become of Lake Waconia? It looked like it looked like the fish out the fishing community was bigger than the community when I drove by it the other day.
That's the main reef out in the middle, and the fish, it's going. Waconia has been very, very good for the walleye bite. There's some great crappie fishing out there. Moving right on up to Independence. Independence has been 24 feet on the mud flats. The walleye is about 5:30 to 7 o'clock at night. The crappie's out in the deep hole, about 50 feet of water suspended, I don't know, 20 feet down. All day bite out there. You know, Tonka, the guys are getting walleyes, northerns, sunnies, crappies. Tonka's been really, really good. The one bait that's kind of slowed down, it looks like, is Seton. I don't know if it just got hit so hard. The people seem to move back over to Black Lake. That's a panfish extravaganza in there. Sunnies, crappies all day long. So all these lakes are going right now really, really good. And if you have the availability for a snowmobile or a four-wheeler, my suggestion is to get out on Tonka, get out your GPS, look at some of those deep rock piles, and get out there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, get set up with a couple of guys, and hold on, because those spots have usually been picked clean by now, and no one's been able to get to them. So the bite has extended out on Tonka. Today I stopped in the bait store, and a lot of guys are getting bait from Wayzata because they have nothing up north anymore. We're running out of bait in the state.
Wow.
How a billion-dollar industry in the state of Minnesota can't get their minnow stuff figured out, I don't get it. It's making it harder for people to enjoy themselves, and that's something that keeps the economy going. So we're lacking on live bait, sucker minnows, shiners, walleye mix, all that stuff is very, very hard to come by right now. So the fishing has been phenomenal, but the state needs to kind of help us out, and we need to figure out either getting more minnow farms going or something, because that's going to be the biggest issue with fishing in Minnesota.
Yeah, kind of hard to dig for crawlers right now, too.
Crawlers, you know, they have good waxworms, good Euro larvas. The panfish are going to be okay. They usually have crappie minnows year-round. But when you're losing all your walleye bait and you have nothing to get, and, you know, a bigger-sized minnow is going to catch you better fishing than a little itty-bitty crappie minnow you're throwing on because that's all you can get, what's the state doing? There has to be something that we can do to make it work.
Rory, thank you so much. We'll check in with you again coming up here in the wintertime at some point in time, but always enjoy your fishing insights.
Well, thanks, Mike. You have a great day, and you let me know when you want to go fishing. I'll get you out.
It sounds good. Rory Nelson, nice enough to join us. We come back. Chris Tubbs gives us his take on a bait that is probably underused. He'll explain when we come back. Timberwolves Sunday, Pete Najarian and I, Sunday morning, 10 to noon, right here with the huddle. Going to be a lot of fun this Sunday. I'm not going to tell you who, but you're going to have fun listening to it. Chris Tubbs, what is the most underused bait you think in Minnesota that fishermen don't pay attention to?
Oh, man. You know, it's been so long since I've been fishing. I couldn't even tell you. I'm so out of touch. I haven't been ice fishing or fishing since I've been back in... Since 19, so at
see,
least...
you need to be more like Dark Star, where you ask him that question, and let's just say he hasn't been fishing for years.
Yeah.
He says, I've kind of like a popper. I don't think you can go wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? Or he'd say something like, you know, I think that daredevils, you know, people don't use them enough, and if you run a devil on there, you're going to come up with something that's going to make
that was
you happy.
That was the joy of Dark.
Yeah, it was.
That was the joy of Dark, where you can throw anything at him and just... it rolled off, and he was able to go with it. So
and he was just on to the next thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah, he was.
Yeah, he kind of listened to what you said, and then he'd play off of that like it was his idea.
Yeah, absolutely. You and know? Yeah, he was so vastly underrated at what he did.
If he said, the problem with the Twins is starting pitching. They don't have enough good starting pitching. He'd follow it up by saying, yeah, if you're going to be there in September, you got to have some arms that can go the distance. You know, he'd say that. What you just said.
He just rephrased
it like it was his thought, you know?
Yeah.
God, that was funny, you know?
Oh God, good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff back in the day. So as we peruse the NFL playoffs, I know you've got a thought, some favorites. Let's start with Green Bay and San Francisco. Okay. Is there any way San Francisco beats Green Bay at Green Bay?
I don't think so. I don't think they do. I don't think Green Bay covers, but...
Well, what's the number?
I think it was 5.5 at last report. I think it opened up at 6, and I think it's 5.5. I think you got like a 4-point game. I think that, you know, last time, you know, playoffs happened, these two teams met. I mean, San Francisco just loves to run the ball. And,
yeah.
You know, Eli Mitchell, they're going to ride him tomorrow. He may get
Jennings. 30. I mean, they're tough runners.
Yeah, they are. They may get 30-plus carries. And I mean, Deebo Samuel is just, he's a jack of all trades. And he's going to be a handful. But I can't bet against Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams.
No, you can't.
No, especially if this is the last ride.
Yeah. I don't think anybody can. I think, you know, or how you do, I don't know. But I agree with you. I just, and at Lambeau Field, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And Jimmy Garoppolo is compromised. I just don't see a way that San Francisco goes in there and beats the Packers.
Okay. In the other NFC game, do you see a way that the Rams, do they have a pathway to beat Tampa?
Absolutely, I think they do. I think the Rams go, well, I mean, it sounds like Tampa could be down 3 of their offensive linemen.
Are those guys not coming back tomorrow? I haven't really kept up.
Yeah, I know that they're questionable right now, but even if they're compromised, I mean, Ryan Jensen, their center, left for a little bit last week. Tristan Wirfs has got that bad wheel.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to protect Tom Brady at all costs.
Yeah, Wirfs might be able to play, but if the ankle is what it is, that did not look good the other day.
No.
I don't know if they've converted that into a high ankle sprain or a low ankle sprain. High ankle would be the worst.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that Rams defensive line is just going to eat, and I'm not convinced in Tampa's ability to run the football and it's nothing against Tom Brady. I think right now the Rams are on a roll, and I think they go down to Tampa, and I think they outright beat the Bucs.
That's your upset special of the weekend?
That's one of them.
Well, we're not done yet.
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Take me into the AFC here.
I don't know why everybody's sleeping on Tennessee. You get Derrick Henry back, that's fine. He's been on IR. I don't know why everybody's doubting them. I like their defense. I like the makeup of Ryan
Daniels. Do you know why they doubt them? You know, this is my theory. They had a bye week.
Yeah.
And so you become all impressed with whoever won last week,
mm-hmm.
and you forget, well, that doesn't mean the team that was sitting out is bad. It's just that you get all caught up in, you know, oh, man, did you see Buffalo? Did you see Kansas City? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, Cincinnati's good. But I think there's a way that you can shut down Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow. I don't know what it is, but I mean, you've got to somehow neutralize him because Jamar Chase is just an absolute star. But I think Tennessee holds on. I think Tennessee by, you know, maybe about 3-4.
How about Buffalo?
I think Buffalo goes into Kansas City and beats the Chiefs.
Whoa, you are all over this time.
I do. Because Buffalo, in the offseason, they spent their resources doing one thing, and that is building that pass rush to beat Pat Mahomes.
So that is going to be on Leslie Frazier's plate to figure out a way to get to him.
Absolutely. And neither one of these teams, I feel, is going to be able to run the ball. I mean, they're both, you know, just kind of meh. But I look at Kansas City's defense and their secondary. Tyreek Hill is he's a freak. But beyond that, like, who else? I mean, you got Travis Kelce. But, I mean, if you're going to extend the field, I feel, you know, Stephon Diggs and Gabriel Davis and Emmanuel Sanders and Cole Beasley, I feel like the wide receivers are deeper and more talented for Buffalo. And I, you know, there are not very many quarterbacks that can go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. I just feel like I feel like they're going to put enough pressure on Patrick Mahomes to make a few. You know, he's going to make a few mistakes.
Do you? Have we heard from Hammer? Has he made predictions yet?
No, Hammer's sitting right here.
Do we know who he's got or not?
Who you got this weekend, Hammer?
Who's on his sheet?
I got the Packers.
Hang on, I got to get a pen.
Okay.
Let me get my pen. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, he's got the Packers.
Yep.
The Rams.
Rams, yep.
Okay, now he's making me turn around.
Okay.
Oh, wait, he's just going to get on the microphone. Okay, Hammer.
I got the Packers, yeah. I got the Rams, yep. I got the Chiefs, and yep. I got the Titans this weekend, Maxie.
Well, we've got some conflict there in the studio. That sounds like the old hometown special there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. So basically, he and I are the same, except for we differ on Kansas City and Buffalo.
Okay.
Because he's taking the Chiefs.
Oh, wait, he took the Rams, you said, right?
I can't go against Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and he took the Rams, too.
Oh, my. Okay. All right, well, this is going to be an interesting Monday show.
Yes, it will.
When we come back. Hey, gentlemen, thank you both for your offerings. Appreciate you both more than you know. And have a great weekend and stay warm, okay?
All right. Thanks, Maxie.
All right. The Lake Man coming up next, Lake Night on WCCO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.